Yeah, this is Rooker, and you listen to the Walking Dead girl. Now get out of here and do it.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 64. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can. You can send me personally and Jasmine an email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can call our voicemail line
1-844-TWD-GIRL,
which no one calls. Yay! And you can post a comment on our Facebook page,
which is also really popular,
which everybody likes. So if you like to put
Facebook, I like emails.
You like emails. You like personal emails.
Yeah.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. And we read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you all that we will be discussing every gory detail, just a disclaimer, about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers, so make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. So,
we have a very controversial episode today, because
sigh.
Just a little bit of backstory, we recorded like 40, about 75% of the show.
Yes.
And then we scrapped it all because...
One, I had to go to work.
Well, you had to go to work, yes. But also, we didn't like it because it was very depressing and we were hating on the show and stuff like that. And I know we don't want to be show haters, but, you know...
And I think we were just all in a bad mood.
We were in a bad mood.
Me specifically.
So we restarted it today and we're in a better mood.
So that's why it's late. I know, excuses. Just say the Jasmine that you're posting on Tuesdays now. You don't have to make an excuse every time. But
well,
we
actually,
will not lie.
Actually, next week it will be a lot better because
I'll be on Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, so we'll be able to do...
We might even be able to stay up late Sunday night to do it, right?
Ooh. That would be fun. Just get a lot of Starbucks.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm running on right now.
What's your favorite Starbucks drink?
My favorite is a caramel brulee.
Caramel brulee with double...
With extra caramel.
Well, it's extra syrup.
Yeah, you went and asked and they're like, we don't have actual caramel, it's syrup.
So okay, well, give me extra syrup then.
Exactly.
I have a small little confession to make. The drink that you just drank
was not caramel brulee.
No, it was caramel brulee. It just had an extra espresso shot in it.
Oh my god, you're so sneaky. That's why I said I don't taste a lot of caramel in this one. I wonder why.
Well, it had caramel, but it had an extra espresso shot.
I'm feeling it right now.
Well, because I said I'm not going to have another podcast where you're depressed and boring and down.
So you like, you've just fixed my drink.
I spiked your coffee, yeah. Yes, with extra
but
coffee.
I'm really glad you did because I was falling asleep in class. I'm very sleep sensitive. What happens is if I go to bed late one night... And I sleep in. The next night, I won't sleep. So because I got late from the cast party, from the Great Gatsby cast party, I didn't get home. I didn't go to sleep until like 3 a.m. And then I didn't wake up until like 12 the next day. That screwed up my whole sleep schedule.
Yeah, you were great in the Great Gatsby. Again, yet again. You.
Thank you.
You were awesome. And I went and saw it the second time, which was incredible for me. But you were spot on. Like you were.
Thank you.
Exactly identical performance, which is good.
That's so good.
Because.
Thank you, man. That means a lot. Sorry.
Or dad.
Sorry, dad.
Hey, man.
I got all Californian.
And it was great. It was awesome. And this time I brought you flowers.
Yes. And they're in my room right now and they smell really good.
I didn't forget this time. I got you the flowers.
And can I just say that the photos that you took are beautiful and I love them all. I put a special filter on them.
I used a special feature on the camera.
What did you use?
Okay. So I discovered a new feature on the iPhone camera.
Because he has an iPhone 6 Plus.
I think the 5S does it too, but I'm not sure. I think it's an iOS 8 thing. But anyway, if you press the photo button, if you hold the button down, it takes multiple photos at the same time.
And that's what you did, didn't you?
So I pressed the button down, I took multiple photos, and then I scanned through them and I noticed which ones were the best, and I kept the best ones.
Wow, that's really good.
And then what I noticed was some of them were blurry and some of them were good, so I kept the good ones.
Nice.
So that's a cool feature. So next time you have like a lot of action or random things, like people are not posing.
I was getting swarmed by everybody.
I took some candid shots of you going,
I know, I saw. I was like, I look like a celebrity. I love it.
You were on cloud nine, weren't you?
I so was. I was soaking it in because God knows when I'm going to do another performance where I'm a lead, right? So I was just taking it all in. All my friends came out to support me. And of course, they all wanted pictures. And I had a bunch of flowers in my hand. And everyone's like, got enough flowers? I'm like, no, you can never have too many flowers. And I took, you really took some really nice photos and I uploaded them.
Thanks.
Yes.
We, in our intro today, we heard Michael Rooker, which we recorded at Walker Stalker Con Atlanta.
The most recent one, yeah.
Atlanta. He was funny because when we took photos, we took like the standard photos and he's like, come here, and he grabs you.
He pushes you out of the way. He's like, get out of the picture. You already he had goes, one.
Boom. Gives me a kick to the face. I go flying. I go flying against the wall. I'm passed out, knocked cold.
Teeth knocked out.
My teeth, I'm bleeding. My jaw is like cracked open. And he grabs you and says, no, you know, come here. And he gives you like a squeezes you close and is like, here. And then I took a photo
very
of
possessive
you.
Hug.
As I was like passed out, I took a photo of you.
God, I can just imagine you.
And so he was pretty aggressive about, I think he's kind of like a,
a lady killer.
He's a ladies man.
Yeah.
I think he's a ladies man. But yeah.
It was pretty funny. Everyone was laughing.
Maybe I should have told him you were only 17. I don't know.
Come on. I look younger than 17.
You look like 10 or something.
Hey, at least give me 12. Dude. Hey, I am not upset by when people call me young, because that means I'm going to have a long acting career. Yeah. I could play a teenager well into my 30s.
Like that girl in Modern Family.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's like 23 or something.
No, she's older. I think she's close to 30. No, maybe
no,
not.
You're lying. That's not true.
Well, the one that
she's
plays
a young adult.
She plays the older teenager.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's actually in her late 20s.
Not late 20s.
Okay, I just looked it up, and she's 23.
See, I was totally right. I was right on money, man.
Okay, you were right. Fine. She's 23. But still, she's not, you know.
She's not 17 or 18 in the show.
I guess she portrays 18 years old. Which reminds me, you're going to be 18 soon.
Yes, I am.
In January.
And it's scary and exciting. It's exciting because that means I could go and sign my own doc. That's kind of scary. But I get to date regular people. Date older people, which I guess is not.
What? What? This is the first I hear of this.
I don't know. This is the first thing that came to my head.
Okay, hold on.
That's the only benefit of being 18 I see.
Okay, hold on a sec.
That is nice. Because.
Screech, halt. this is kind of. Okay, so this is your aspiration?
No!
To reach 18 so that you can date older people?
Well, no, not. It came out so wrong. No, because I feel like I'm very mature for my age, and people who are my age are not very mature. And if you want to date someone who's 19, you can't because I'm 17, and which is kind of illegal. But what if I'm 18, I could date someone who's 19 without being worried.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But as long as you live in our house, you're going to follow our rules.
I honestly probably not going to date at all anytime soon. So you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
But see, I don't see anything else being good about being 18. So many responsibilities, and you got to sign documents. You could go to jail. Like,
well, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to be 10 times more likely to commit a crime once I turn 18.
Well, because you're tempted now. I don't know, I guess. I don't know why. Why would you be more likely?
I don't know, because I know I could go to jail.
Yeah. Well, you told me that you wanted to finally watch True Blood or something.
Oh, yes. I do. That's my... I want a box set.
Well, we kind of, I think you can watch it on HBO from the beginning. I think you can.
That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want.
True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we were telling you to not watch True Blood because it's so sexual and stuff. But since you've watched like Game of Thrones.
Right.
And you've watched.
And I've read all the True Blood books.
And you've watched all these other gory movies. Like the other day, we just watched Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
And I fell asleep during the first one.
Because it was not violent enough, I guess. But yeah, so you saw Kill Bill 1 and 2, which is pretty violent. And there's some sexual stuff in there. So
it's not that violent. Is it violent? I can't tell.
And what's his name? Did the special effects for that?
Yes, Greg Nicotero. We saw it in the credits too,
yeah,
which is pretty cool.
He did the special effects for Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. And we're like, hey, we know him.
Mm-hmm.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool. That's pretty cool.
One thing before we get into this episode and do our analysis, I wanted to kind of go back a little bit and just because something we never really touched on. You know, we did an episode on the season 5 trailer, right? And how we talked about, you know, what we think is going to happen, our predictions and stuff. And now that we look back on that trailer, it's totally
different than what we expected, right?
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Like, do you think it was a deception, obviously?
I think when they filmed that trailer, they weren't even finished with the season, right?
Oh, they were.
No, they weren't. They were halfway.
Most of the episodes. Because in the trailer, they had the truck falling off the bridge.
And they had the bus flipping over.
And the bus flipping over. So they had these...
The church bus? Yeah. So I think the only way to show season 5 without giving it away is to show just all the termite stuff. Mm-hmm. And that only took place in the first 2 episodes. And if they showed anything else, it wouldn't... Like, that was a big spoiler when they showed where Beth was. That was the only thing that we predicted.
That was the only thing that was real.
That was real, yeah. Everything else, we thought, that's why everyone thought Terminus was going to encompass the whole season, because that's what they showed in the preview. But they did that on purpose, which
I'm
glad they did.
And also they tricked us, because they tricked you.
What?
Because you thought, well, Rick is going to join Gareth, and they're going to team up and go to Washington.
Because his voice said, we got to get to Washington.
No, he did.
His voice.
It was a deception.
They did it on purpose. They took 3 of our people. Actually, reality, they took 1 and gave them back. And the other 2 ran off. And it was very short time that they realized that they didn't all have them. And they explained that they didn't have them. So it was all a lie.
Yeah. And also they said that... you notice they didn't show a scene with Rick and
Gareth together.
It was always
the last time they're together, he killed them.
Yeah, like, we're going to go to Washington, and then they show the group listening to Gareth, like, as if they're listening to Gareth.
But they're not. Gareth is talking to his group. It was probably the scene where he was talking to Bob.
Yeah, or something. And, so anyway, I felt like we got tricked, so I'm not sure if I'm going to believe any new trailer anymore.
Exactly. I'm just going to take it with a grain of salt.
So the next trailer is, you fooled me once, you're not going to fool me twice.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. And also, another thing that I want to mention is that... you know, when we watched last episode with Eugene,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we found at the end, of course, that he was lying.
Yeah.
Both you and I honestly thought that he was telling the truth.
Yeah. The only reason I would think that he was lying is because they said it happened in the comics, and there is very strong possibility that he could say no. It could be lying. I mean, there's nothing really to. The only reason that I was convinced that he wasn't was because they said they were in radio contact with Washington, which we know has not been confirmed or denied yet. And yeah, we got 2 comments lately. I don't know if we talked about this.
We didn't talk about it, but basically we got a bunch of comments, or 2 anyway, 2 comments saying that, you know, we should be careful what we say. We shouldn't spoil.
But the thing is, we purposely don't read the comics.
Yeah, so we don't read the comics.
So that we don't spoil or get any influence. I think what mm-hmm. they were referring to is the one time we said, hey, we heard this.
Yeah, we heard. Well, it was basically a listener saying, hey, this might happen. And we repeated it. And it turns out that it actually didn't happen. But so if you hear us say things, it's not intentional. Because we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, take everything we say with a grain of salt. Don't believe anything we say.
Yes.
Everything is a lie.
We do know that aliens are going to come and attack.
We know, they already have, and they're just letting us think that we're alone.
Spoilers, there's going to be an alien attack.
Sorry, not sorry.
I don't know. And one other thing I wanted to talk about is, let's see what your opinion is on this, because that kind of was kind of interesting to me, was, you know what, Abraham and his hand?
Yes.
What did you think about that? What is the symbolism there? And do you think anything's going on there?
I think it's more symbolism than reality, but maybe it's the other way around, where it's more, oh, this is going to cause a problem, his injury, than it has shows symbolism. But if it was for symbolism, showing how unraveled he's become or how weak he really is, you know, because he thinks he's so like, we're going to get there, we're going to be, nothing will stop us, mm-hmm. but a little hand wound can, or, you know.
Or maybe that's just a reminder of.
Like the human spirit is damaged.
Yeah, or of a reminder of his past or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I had flashbacks where he was like beating people up and he's looking at his fists and he's bloodied.
Do you think his hand got injured while he was beating up those people? in the store.
Yeah, because he said
like it was that long. It can't be that long.
No, it wasn't. No.
Oh, he hurt his hand in the church.
And I think they have it specifically for the end when he beat up Eugene and he busted open his hand again.
Mm-hmm.
And his hand was all bloody to kind of remind him of what he did in the flashback that we saw, and his hands were bloody, and his family ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Just show him that he's at that place again because he's lost everything, just like he's lost his family.
Yeah.
It's kind of to go back to that.
Another irony there is that for the whole... Another irony singleton is that for the whole trip, Abraham was protecting Eugene, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like when the bus flipped over, they were like, hey, is Eugene okay? Blah, blah. And now at the end, he basically was willing to kill him.
Because
like, see how like he switched and became now you're my enemy. Right?
I don't blame him. I really don't. Because like we talked about this, he was the huge advocate for this whole mission, and he sacrificed people. He sacrificed things for this guy who's lying.
Yeah,
I would totally, if I had the strength, I would totally do the same thing to Eugene.
Yeah,
honestly,
I think that made everyone hate Eugene.
Like I
that,
hate Eugene.
That scene.
I hated him already, but...
Because he was weird.
Ah, weirdo.
But, you know, like, I think the audience now, I think, hates Eugene, and he has to kind of do, like, a lot to redeem himself now.
I actually have more respect for Abraham than Eugene at this point.
Yeah, I think Abraham...
I'm glad is Eugene, a stronger, Abraham, yeah.
Is kind of more... I don't know if morally stronger, but he's just a stronger character.
Justified.
And I think Eugene now has to really prove himself... And
I don't think he should be spared. They should kill him. What?
Just because he can light fires with a battery doesn't make him that useful. I mean, okay, fine. Maybe a little bit.
It's always
bit
nice
useful.
To have the brains, but.
He's not that smart, though. I mean,
at the end of the day.
Like, he knows, he says, I just know things, like he's done research or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
How useful is that?
We've overanalyzed this.
And this new episode had some.
As you know, it's about Daryl and Carol, and everyone was really stoked for this episode because stoked.
We have a lot of Facebook comments, but we'll read them at the end this time. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, yeah. So we'll save the comments for the end, and we'll start getting into this episode. But so what did you think overall? I know we had some controversial arguments about this.
Okay. Well, now that I'm in a better mood, I have more positive things to say, but... What has stayed the same is that I think the first two episodes of the season was so good compared to everything, the first three with the termites and the Rick's group and everything was probably the best, now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably the best episode, in my opinion, probably the best episodes of the whole series.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
That's bold.
It is bold.
That's a bold statement.
One, because they had action mixed with, you know, still had depth, you know,
yeah.
And they had new characters that were so frightening. Termites.
Yeah, Gareth.
And plus the bad guy was good looking, which is nice. It's a plus. It's a big plus in my books. You want someone nice to look at, and he's crazy. He's like Christian Bale, American Psycho status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love it.
I know that's your favorite movie.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I need to pick senior quotes, and I'm probably going to pick a senior quote from that movie or a Quentin Tarantino movie, which all are inappropriate, but I will try. And
senior quotes apparently is this thing that seniors do in high school where they pick quotes for their yearbook.
And it's supposed to describe your whole life in high school.
And you put it underneath your photo, right?
Uh-huh. And yeah. Also senior superlatives, which is basically this big popularity contest to see who is the best at best dressed, most likely to succeed. And the one I want to go for, because I care about these things, apparently, because people said, I'm going to vote you for this. I was like, okay, is most likely to have their own TV show or talk show.
Oh, I wonder why. Because you have a podcast, maybe?
Right, maybe. Right. The other next one was most likely to be on Broadway.
That's a good one, too.
But I don't want to be on Broadway. But it's relating to acting, so I would go for it.
So if someone said, hey... Here's an opportunity to go on Broadway. You'd say like, nah, I don't want to.
No, of course not.
So you would go.
I would go. Dude.
Okay.
A little off track, but so that those, and I think once the Beth episode hit, I was like, stab in the gut. Because
actually, you know what?
It was all right.
If you can compare the Beth episode with this episode, I like the Beth one better.
Because it was like a whole new.
Yeah, it was a whole new crowd. And Noah. I like Noah.
Noah's growing on me.
I like Noah from the Beth episode, but in this episode, Noah is in a weird situation just because they don't
know who he is, well, but he's acting such a bad guy.
We know who he is, and he's acting kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that's not the Noah we Beth knew and loved.
It's you know why? It's because he hasn't been out in the world a lot, so he doesn't know how to deal with himself.
Yeah, he's a little gun shy. He's scared. He's learning, and you know he's meeting these new people.
Yeah, the Beth episode was probably better than the Daryl Carroll episode. What? Who said that? Yes, it was me.
Okay.
Mostly for the reason that they went over that. I felt like I knew everything that they were talking about in this episode. I mean, the only new thing I've learned was that Carol and Daryl are two different people, and they've grown a lot, maybe apart, but everything else, like the flashbacks, pretty predictable.
Yeah. And almost to the point where I feel like they had this episode so that it could introduce them, these two characters, again to us for the new viewers, like the new viewers that haven't seen.
To educate them on the whole relationship.
On who they are. I don't know, maybe, because like she's rehashing stuff about, oh, you know, when Ed abused me, this is what happened. It's like,
and yeah, that's all the way season one.
We kind of knew all that already.
But that's, yeah, back in season one. But yeah. Anybody who's a new show, because of the widely accessible Netflix stuff that we have, they binge watch the whole thing, and then they're caught up now.
You think people go back and watch the old seasons?
Oh my God, yes. All my friends who just started watching the show, and people, they binge watch the whole on Netflix, and then they're caught up.
Okay. And by the way, if you are those kind of people, then please listen to our podcast.
Welcome.
Go back and listen to episode one. You'll see how a little bit rusty we are, but you know.
Yeah.
We've gotten better, I think.
We've gotten better. I was so young. I was 16.
Young and innocent. 16 or 15? Oh, yeah, you were 16. 16. Yeah. So we start off this episode
with the cold open, and it's a Carol flashback taken right after she left Rick in the van, the Suburban. Is that what you call it? The Suburban camper? I don't know.
Station wagon.
Station wagon. There we go. And we see her have all her stuff.
Yeah, she drives off and then she stops. Well, they show her stopped.
And you thought she ran out of gas. And I knew she was having a moment, because who wouldn't? You just left everything. You just been kicked out because of something that you thought you did right.
Why do women always have to have moments?
Oh, really, Dad? Really, women? Whatever.
Okay.
Like, you kidding. Wouldn't have a moment?
Please. I'm just kidding. No, I'm a real man. I don't cry.
Sure.
I would totally break down and cry. I would be like, oh my gosh.
You probably freak out.
Rick is so hot and he's such an awesome guy and he kicked me out.
Sure, Dad. Sure. That's so manly.
Yeah.
And I was amazed about at was during this series, like, you realize in the apocalypse, you really have nothing. She could do that because she has no furniture, no, you know, houses to take care of, or, you know, clothes on her back. She just has whatever was with her and she can just get up and go. And I said, it was so freeing, you know?
Yeah.
To just have nothing to your name. And,
it's easy for, you can do that right now. Just give me your cell phone.
That's all I have to my name.
Could you survive without a cell phone, Jasmine? Sometimes I wonder.
I would have a period of withdrawal, because anything you've used for a very long time that gets taken away from you, you always feel sad. But I think I could live without it.
Yeah. And do you think that, so she was crying, and obviously, you know, we thought
the music was in this scene was really good.
The music was really awesome in that intro. And we thought Carol was this tough person. She couldn't handle anything, but you know, she broke down and she was emotional because she really felt like,
because it really meant something.
Yeah. It meant, it was important to her.
And I really feel like this episode kind of humanized Carol a little bit more, because everybody thought that she was just like this robot. Amazing person who just totally saved the group and is cold, heartless, and doesn't regret anything. But in this episode, it shows us that this took a lot out of her, that it doesn't just come naturally, and she didn't, this wasn't an easy decision. This wasn't easy for her. You know, it really showed us that it changed her, and she thinks about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's like, oh my gosh, she's like MacGruber. She's coming up with all these things,
MacGruber.
You know? Or what did you say it was?
MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Or MacGruber.
I was thinking of the SNL skit version.
MacGruber. No, she was like in a Rambo too, right?
Yeah, Rambo. Yeah, Rambo. But, and you know, Rambo has no feelings. Like, he just does what he has to do because he's naturally smart. But
he's
for
programmed.
Her, we showed in the flashback that it humanized her a little bit.
He's programmed to kill.
Yeah. Whatever. And she stops at a law firm and
I don't know why.
It was a resting place. It was just a resting place. And you see her by herself and you get this vibe that it's really lonely.
Yeah, and we noticed that the fire is a big theme
in this episode. Like, yeah.
And it started off with the beginning where there was the reflection of the fire of the prison in the window and also in the windshield. And then there was the candle she lit when she went to the law firm to read a book. She lit a little candle and she blew it out. So every kind of scene had like fire in it somehow.
And they had like some ashes analogy in the show between Daryl and Carol. And they had a little conversation. It's all about, and the show is called Consumed. So it was a really strong, obvious theme in this episode.
Yeah. And later on, Carol talks about the concept of everything being consumed, her previous personalities being consumed.
By this apocalypse has consumed her. Yeah. Which is, I really like that conversation because it really kind of lets us know again how people react to the apocalypse in a realistic way.
And there was this other thing that you wanted to talk about, which we had to Google it because we forgot, was the idea of white smoke versus black smoke.
Yes. And it's not as much symbolism as you think. It's actually a real distinction. Black smoke, as we found, means the fire is still burning. And white smoke means that the fire is burnt out. Yeah. And we see a lot of these in the flashbacks with Carol seeing smoke. And I don't necessarily remember because one is from the prison and one is from Terminus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the prison is black because it's still burning. And then I think the smoke from the cabin that Beth and...
Terminus.
Well, Terminus smoke, yeah. But there was also smoke from when Beth and Daryl burnt down the cabin.
Yes.
And that was white because it was going out.
Yes. And because they burnt it during the night.
Yeah. And I think the idea is like, well, things are starting and heating up and it's black and then everything's over, it turns white and let's move on now.
Yeah. 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 Definitely. It's a pretty obvious symbolism there.
Yeah. And then...
Before we move on, I just wanted to say that after like watching this show has made me realize that the show is so different. And I guess it's mostly to do because we're so invested in the show and we study every aspect of the show and we've met the cast and we've met the producers, or at least we watched interviews and we know how they think, that I can't look at any other show the same. And that a bad episode for The Walking Dead is like a good episode for any other show.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the quality of the show is so great and it's like watching a new movie. It's like watching a movie every time.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I was like, this show is so good. I like it.
Carol and Beth. So I keep saying Beth. Beth is gone. She's in the hospital. Okay. Carol and Daryl.
Yeah, they're driving in the car.
Driving down the road.
Following the car with a cross. And during this time, Daryl explains the history with this car, with him, in relation to him, and saying that the last time I saw Beth, they took off in one of these cars. So we're going to follow it. And
you notice that the first inkling of Carol's difference with Daryl, where Daryl's like, you know, I mean, Carol's like, let's run them off the road.
Well, because we're running out of gas. Just run them off the road and we'll ask the guy questions. And then Daryl's like, no, we'll follow them. We still got some gas left because what if he doesn't talk and we're back to square one?
Yeah.
And we can, that's like a first clear sign of their difference in opinions and morals or theories of what they should, like ideas. And
yeah,
but they don't argue. You notice they just agree to disagree because they respect each other.
Yeah. And Carol is more of a doer. Like she wants to go do something and resolve the situation and survive and not be a victim. Like she continuously doesn't want to be a victim. She wants to be proactive. She wants to get stuff done. And Daryl's more like, you know, laid back. Let's
scope it out.
Let's
assess the situation.
Let's wait and see. Let's go on a rooftop and observe from a distance and see what they do.
But it's very smart. I totally agree.
I think there's a time for both though, right?
Yeah.
You have to kind of balance things out. And
I thought it was really cool how the truck drove down the Atlanta freeway entrance.
Yes. So that was kind of a throwback.
But it was like, it looked like the season one, but
At night.
At night, yeah.
It was the freeway that leads into Atlanta where one side is all full of cars backed up and the other side is open, and that's where Rick rode his horse in. But this time they're driving in and they're following a car. And
it looks so creepy at nighttime. It reminded me of like the Terminator skyline. Terminator movie, Apocalypse skyline. I don't know why. It just kind of reminded me of that.
And they're Carol and Daryl are playing cops and robbers.
What I don't understand is, and it makes sense now that I think about it, but I was just pretty skeptical about how they didn't know that the people in the car didn't know that there was someone following them. Even though they took out their lights, how close were they following them? Because if they could see them, then can't they see them?
Well,
can't they see each other?
Well, when you look in the rearview mirror from the people being followed, all you see is some darkness. You don't see, I mean, they blew out the headlights. They blew out the rear lights. So there's no lights. So if you're without lights, you can't see anything. And but there was moonlight, I guess, or something, because we could see as the audience. Because in reality, if there's no moonlight and there's no electricity with no kind of city lights, it's pitch dark. So the whole show, the whole show would be in blackness. You wouldn't see anything. So they had to have some light, you know.
No, yeah, just that, I don't know. I feel like you would have seen them behind you if they were following.
It's not nothing, something you suspect, right? You think you're alone. I mean, it's the apocalypse.
Exactly.
You don't expect people to be following you. Exactly. So you don't like think about it.
And they stop inside Atlanta, and then they're in the city.
So what do you think that cop was pulling out of the way?
I think they were just pulling out trash just to get through, because they turned into that area.
Yeah,
I think that's all. And I think they purposely had that happen so that Daryl and Carol could see that there was two people in the car and one of them was a cop. So it kind of like shows what's going on.
Yeah, unfortunately, they ran out of gas, so they couldn't follow them, and they lost track of them.
Yeah,
right.
And they had to bail out and take shelter somewhere. And
were you scared when that walker hit the car?
Yeah, I jumped. I was so scared. I was like, what the heck? And I was afraid that the cop would see something, but he did see the walker, but he didn't think nothing of it.
Yeah. He's probably thinking also, oh, silly walker.
Oh, you silly goose.
You silly walker. There's nobody in that car. What are you banging on it for? Move on. And then, but, you know, I've seen too many shows and movies, and I kind of knew what was going to happen. Sorry. I kind of knew that there's going to be a jump scare there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw the cop going, and they were like looking like, where did he go? Where did he go? It's like, oh, I bet you he's going to come around and jump on them.
Something is going to, yeah.
But it was a walker instead. And then they go find a place where Carol apparently
it's a temporary housing for women and children. It's a shelter. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really like about this episode is that they're in the city again. And the city is really scary to me because
at night.
Yeah, especially in that night, because it's so congested with walkers and there's not a lot of open space to escape. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of dead ends and corners and stuff. And I really like that because it makes everything a lot more with a tinge of danger.
Yeah. And it also shows that there's not a lot of people alive.
Yeah. Right? There's no one left, really.
So there's not a lot of people alive. Well, we kind of knew that from season one when Rick went in. But at least at that point, there was like, you know, there were some people. There was Glenn. There was Andrea and all
that. And there was those
so there was people in the city wandering around, which Rick met up with, but now apparently there's pretty much nobody because there's very, very few population left in the city, which is kind of depressing. But zombies at night are scary. If you think zombies at day in the day are scary, zombies at night are
because
scarier.
You can't see them, but you can hear them, and especially since the like nice acoustics of the city, you can hear the echoes, and it makes it even 10 times scarier. So they break into the facility, and Daryl's like, "Hey, you look like you know this place," and it's because she does. And they hang out in this room, which has bunk beds, and Daryl looks at a book that says "Treating Survivors of Child Abuse."
Right. Yep.
And I also think that Carol's suffering from insomnia.
Oh, yeah.
Because she hasn't slept at all. I mean, in the flashbacks, she couldn't sleep. Like when she blew out the little candle, she was awake. Looked like she couldn't sleep. And when she took the second watch, or first watch, and then went to sleep.
Because Daryl said, we're pretty good in this. We're locked up pretty tight. I don't think anyone's coming. So maybe we can both sleep.
She's like, no, I'll take the first watch. It's because she can't get to sleep. And then when she finally lies down, she's still awake, and they have a cool scene where they pass from night to day. Like,
and she wakes up and it's like,
no, she barely she closed her eyes, and the next minute is daytime, showing that she didn't sleep at all.
Mm. So I wonder what that symbolizes, that she can't sleep.
She's dealing with problems. She has issues.
Or maybe she's scared.
She's not scared. She's just dealing with issues, I think. She can handle herself.
So if someone can't sleep, it's issues, right?
Well, yeah. And they talk a little bit about starting over, and says that he's trying to start over. And this whole thing was pretty much about them trying to start over.
Yeah.
And although she agrees with it, he doesn't believe that she's actually trying.
And she also says, I don't think we get to save people anymore.
And then Daryl's like, then what are you doing here? And he says, trying. She said, trying.
So she's trying to care?
She's trying to get back to a place where she cares.
She cares about people?
Mm-hmm. To be that person she was at the prison.
But I think as we learn later on that her solution to that is just to run away.
Yeah. Because she doesn't want to see anybody else die. And we see that and we hear about that later on.
Yeah. And we have a little scene where they have two walkers, a mother and child.
Estelle stuck in the shelter.
Stuck in the shelter as zombies. And, you know, she goes to kill them.
Yeah, Carol identifies with them because it could have been her.
It could have been Sophia. Yeah, her and Sophia. And
what Daryl does that's really honorable is that he says, you don't have to do it. You really don't have to kill them.
Yeah, you don't have to be that.
Because he knows how much it affects her.
Mm-hmm. And the next morning, like you said, she didn't sleep. She opened up her eyes. It was daytime. And then she sees another fire burning, you know, which kind of brings flashbacks of other fires burning in her past. And
she realizes it was Daryl who took the time to kill and bury those.
And they have that ominous music.
That they have throughout the whole episode.
Yeah. Where Daryl's burning the child's body.
Because he knows how important that, or how much that affected her. And she says, thank you.
And she was crying.
Yeah.
Which says a lot.
I
don't know what it says, but
it meant that she's really incredibly grateful that he did it. It's like, you know, you take out the trash without being asked.
Yeah, as they said on Talking Dead.
And see, they know each other so well, they don't even need to ask.
They don't even have to talk about it. They just do.
Yeah, and then right after that, we have
do.
And then right after that, we have a flashback of Tyrese and Carol setting up graves for Mika and Lizzie.
And the smoke in the background.
And it's white at this point, isn't it? Which was the fire that Daryl and Beth had done. And they go into the city the next day.
And they're walking around in the daytime.
And we see the same tank that was from season one.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole goal in the city, just to let you know, is to get a higher vantage point. Because at first I was like, why are they sitting in? They have no leads. And they were trying to find a lead by getting to the good vantage point. There's so many walkers. And they had a plan. Daryl's really creative. He said, okay, there's a bunch of walkers, but I see a way to get inside there, but we can't distract them. So he goes into his backpack and he pulls out a legal pad.
So he can drop a plan.
And I thought it was to drop a plan. I'm like, what are you doing, Daryl? But he does the total thing that you expect him to do. He set it on fire and threw it out to distract the walkers. Yeah. And you said that Carol had the same expression that we did. Is like, what, we're going to write it down? We already know what we're going to do.
Yeah, she's probably looking at him. Why are you taking out this notepad? I know.
Yeah.
Not that stupid.
Yeah.
I want to take a break and talk a little bit about the Atlanta in apocalypse mode. So it reminded me of, you remember the movie
28 Weeks Later?
That too, but also 28 Days Later. That too, but also I Am Legend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you remember I Am Legend? But it was in New York,
mm-hmm.
where Will Smith was kind of alone in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the city was run down.
Yeah, and it was taken over like by greenery and animals.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminded me a little bit. I mean, of course, they don't have the budget to make the city completely filled with grass.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough time has passed.
Been 3 years.
That to happen.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminded me of the same thing.
Yeah.
Also, an earlier version of I Am Legend was called Omega Man. It was with Charlton Heston. Mm. And, you know, Ben-Hur, the guy who played in Ben-Hur.
That's him?
Charlton Heston. He played in Omega Man, which was kind of an earlier version of I Am Legend. It was a different...
It was more based off the book, right?
It was a different version of it. It was an
I read the book, which was really good, and I suggest you guys read it because it's kind of different from the movie, but it's better in ways.
Yeah.
It explains more.
And when I was like, I watched Mega Man when I was a kid.
Was it a movie or a TV show?
It was a TV show. I mean, a movie.
Oh, okay.
And then that's what, it's just kind of similar to I Am Legend, but it's not Will Smith. It's Charlton Heston. But I watched it as a kid. And the thing that really I loved about it as a kid, because like, wow, you have a whole city to yourself.
Yeah.
Like you can do anything. You can go into any store. You can go into any mall.
Oh, yeah.
You can go into anything.
Get all the goodies. Clothes.
Yeah, get all the goodies. Rummage into other people's stuff and all that. So as a kid watching that, I just, that's all I could think of. Because yeah. I'm a kid going into all these other places. Like now I don't really care too much for it. It's like, okay.
Actually, now that you think about it, I think I would never be bored because I would just go through house by house, finding out people's lives and stitching it together, just creating stories for myself, stealing their stuff and creating the ultimate wardrobe.
Reading their, well, their diaries.
Yeah.
Or their, well, looking
it's
at
like,
their photo
albums.
It's
like watching a soap opera, you know? It's like, what did Debbie Darson do today?
Or looking at their photo albums or whatever.
Yeah.
And
just entertain yourself that way.
Yeah, or you can just go to the mall and just try on different clothes and outfits.
Like I'll come
stuff.
Up with the ultimate zombie proof closet, like a wardrobe. Like what was in season for this apocalypse, you know?
Yeah. So I think from that point of view, it'd be kind of fun, but then you have to think about, you know,
you're going to be alone and it's dangerous because no one else will help you.
Where are you going to find food? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of zombies and you have to really know how to kill zombies.
Yeah.
Because as we see, there's a lot of them running around still, or not running, I mean, walking around.
Yeah. But they're easier to manage.
And they're easily distracted by fire.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty common knowledge that they like anything that moves.
Yeah.
And makes sounds. So it was a good distraction. They got into the garage of the garage parking lot of the building. And they're going to try to get to cross the sky bridge to get to a higher building. And one thing we noticed is right when they got through the door leading into the building from the garage parking lot, we see somebody behind a car following them. And then when they get up to the sky bridge, we see them, someone, following them. And I was the one that called it saying it was Noah, obviously.
Yeah, you noticed it. I didn't notice. I thought it was a walker. But
it looks like it, right?
But then when you rewind it, you realize that, yeah, of course, it's him.
And I'm glad they had them reunited, but I was so pissed off when I realized how they got reunited. Yeah. But anyway, what happened was they got to the sky bridge and you could see there was a zombie sleepover. And I really like that scene. It's probably the favorite out of all of them because you get to have like an untold story in this episode, which adds depth to the show. It's not just about, you know, the objective, but you get to hear. It's like a little goody like Easter eggs throughout the show. Yeah.
And we saw that in that sky bridge, they had laundry and clothes. And
yeah, it was a little survivor camp and everybody was still in their sleeping bag. They were walkers, of course, but it looked like somebody came during the night and slaughtered all of them.
Yeah, because they had blood on their sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm. And there was like stuffing from the suit from the sleeping bags that were coming out. And there was people in the tent still. They left those ones dead. Left those ones dead because they're dead. But yeah, left those ones alone. And they went through the door, which was chained. So that means they had to put their weapons through first. And at first it was fine. And they got to an office building. And it was like, it looked like a really rich place, and then they had a little downtime, and then you had the dramatic music again, and they talk about the starting over thing again.
Yeah. They noticed, okay, so they went into that place, and then they looked out the window.
And before that, though, they had a talk.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, what did they talk about? They talked about so much talking. Jeez. I lost track here. Okay,
we got to start over like the way it was. We have to.
Yeah, we have to start over. And also talk about like...
And that's where I would start questioning, like, does Carol actually believe in starting over?
Yeah, but Carol also said, you know, you haven't asked me about what happened with the kids, right? And the fact that she asked Daryl that means that maybe she does want to talk about it.
Or she's wondering why he hasn't asked.
Or like, why is she bringing it up, right? She probably wants to let it out.
I don't think it necessarily is that, but I think she's just curious that he doesn't want to ask.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe she does. Who knows? But
the fact that she's bringing it up.
He basically says, well, I already know what happens. They're not here. So that's all I really need to know. And she's like, it was worse than that. But she doesn't tell him. Because you know why? He notices something on the bridge. And he's just his little meaty hands. his fingers to point at the window and say, look, there's something there. And he sees the truck from like really far away that was hanging over the edge that has the same cross that Beth's captures have on their cars and that the car that they were following. So they plan to go down and inspect it. It's a lead. So he's a detective. We found a lead.
Yeah. Well, remember in the season premiere of, what season was that? I think it was 4 or 3.
Mm.
Was it 4? I think it was 4. Where the guy said, oh, what did you do in another life or whatever before the apocalypse? Said, I was an undercover cop or something. I could see he was.
Yeah.
He was an undercover.
He was like the one that was like a freelancer that wasn't really part of the department because he did all of his ways of doing stuff was against the book, not by the book.
Yeah, he had a
drinking problem.
He always have the book thrown at him. And we'd have some black sergeant saying, you are a disgrace to this department. You're going to...
Give me your badge.
Take a week off. Meanwhile, even though he's off for a week, he's still doing work.
Are you talking about that Eddie Murphy movie?
They're all the same. But yeah, so I could see Daryl being a cop, undercover cop, saying, you know, scoping out, seeing things. Like, you know what I mean? Because if you think of this episode, that's what he was doing. He was totally being
following leads.
He was totally being cop mode.
But I think he's necessarily doing more of like a tracking than a detective. But I guess you have to be.
Of tracking squirrels is not really the same, but.
Hey, you look for clues.
Although Beth is squirrely like. Is that your laugh?
But that's my, I'm trying not to laugh because that was a bad joke laugh. And then we have a little scene that is a little, I feel like, relaxed, not touchy scenes, actual funny scenes are hard for them to do because they're such serious actors because it's such a serious show. Didn't we hear in some interview that scene back at the church where they're all drinking and eating and having a good time was hard for them to be forced happy because the show always is so dark. And I kind of get that that's why everything seems a little awkward because they're not used to doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
For example, in this scene, Daryl's looking at a painting, some abstract painting, and said it looks like some dog rubbed its ass over in some paint and then just put it on the painting. And she's like, I kind of like it. And he's like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, you don't know me. And he's like, yeah, you like to think I don't. And it kind of shows the relationship. They're easygoing. Relationship that, yes, they're two completely different people, but they respect each other and know each other well.
Yeah.
And as they leave, did we miss anything from that scene? Yeah, as they leave, they go through that damn door that's locked. Carol puts her gun first, and Daryl goes through, and what do you know? There's Noah apprehending them. Scrawny little kid with a limp. Catches them off guard.
Well, yeah, and... He asks for, I mean, he's inexperienced, obviously, because...
He doesn't know who they're dealing with.
And he also didn't get Carol's gun, so obviously he didn't do a good job.
He did. That was Carol's gun in his hand.
I know, but Carol had another gun.
Yeah.
She had a backup gun.
Yeah. Probably had like 6 different knives.
Exactly. Didn't get all her knives. So he kind of did
He also asked for the crossbow, and that's where I started getting angry. I was like, how... Dare he ask for the crossbow and how dare he give it up so willingly?
Oh, when you have a gun pointed at you,
you have no choice. It was so... I hate when people get their signature weapons taken from them. Like when Michonne's sword was gone, I was like so sad. And they're okay with it. I'd have been so bummed. And so
one thing is that we know who Noah is. Yeah. Right? So we kind of...
And we were upset that he would do this because we're like, no, you need to work together. You guys are so looking for the same person.
Yeah. And... The fact that Noah is still there and hasn't taken off, what does that mean?
Maybe it happened shortly after they found them. He found them shortly after.
Yeah. But does it mean, but it could it mean that he's not going to leave?
Yeah, I think so. Because,
I mean, you really want to leave the city. Unless he's not smart enough to leave the city.
Unless he doesn't know. Well, he does know he does have somewhere to go. He knows there's of another group of walls.
Oh, right. He said that he wants to go back home.
But
to his
I'm
family.
Pretty sure he wants to take Beth with him, so he's...
He did promise.
Mm-hmm. Planning on going back, I think. And he realizes that these people are tough, so as he leaves with the two weapons, I don't know how he's going to deal with both weapons and both hands, rips open the tent with the walkers inside and says, you guys can handle yourself. You guys look tough. Of course they can. And Carol has her gun, so she lifts it up, is about to shoot him, but Daryl knocks her aim off.
Mm.
And...
Why do you think he did that?
Because he says he's just a kid.
Mm.
And Daryl has changed from the person he was before. And Carol is the kind of person that would just shoot first, ask questions later, because they took their freaking weapons.
Or burn your body to a crisp.
Oh my gosh.
Because you have a disease that apparently can't be cured.
Mm-hmm.
She would be great for the Ebola outbreak.
Oh my God.
Burn them all.
audio clip of this scene.
Yeah, because they're running through the parking garage and they're trying to get after Noah.
Three bullets. We're in the middle of the city. He was stealing our weapons. Do you think I was going to kill him? I was aiming for his leg. Could that have killed him? Maybe. I don't know, but he was stealing our weapons.
He's just a damn kid.
Without weapons, we could die. Beth could die.
Yeah, we'll find more weapons.
I don't want you to die. I don't want Beth to die. I don't want anybody at the church to die, but I can't stand around and watch it happen either. I can't. That's why I left. I just had to be somewhere else.
We ain't somewhere else. You're right here. Trying.
But you're not who you were, and neither am I. I don't know if I believe in God anymore or heaven, but if I'm going to hell, I'm making damn sure I'm holding it off as long as I can.
So this was a very good scene because it kind of showed how different they are or how far they've separated a little bit, because she feels like she needs to defend herself for wanting to shoot the kid. Because obviously Daryl doesn't agree with it. And she can't understand why he doesn't understand that, yo, I was aiming for the leg and maybe, yeah, he could have died. But that's not our problem. He took our weapons and we need it because we need to survive. And Carol's all about surviving.
She's all about that base.
Oh my God.
No trouble.
Stop. And I can't take you seriously now. And this is a serious podcast, Dad. We need to talk about serious things.
Yes, very serious.
Anyway, and Daryl is like very different than what you expect, because you think he would be upset about his weapon, but then again, who cares? Because that's selfish. No, bigger issues. We can get more weapons, he says, and he's just a kid. And
well, I think
we're trying.
And also, Carol says that, which is critical, I think, is to.
She knows why she left.
Yeah, she goes, I don't want anybody to die.
I don't want to watch them die.
So I ran away.
Because I don't want to see him die, and I don't want to deal with the emotion and the pain.
And Daryl's like, no, you shouldn't do that. You should just stay here and work on living for the moment and now. And the now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just want to sit around and watch people die and to have to deal with them. And
I think what Carol does, like all her actions, like shooting that kid and all that stuff, is basically just for herself. Like self-preservation.
Yeah. She's kind of in almost the same position as Michonne, was before she met Andrea.
Yeah.
And after she lost Andrea.
Yeah.
She was in that kind of like self-preservation, doing things just because she has to on instinct. Except Carol has gotten there through all the heartache she's been through.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl's really trying so hard to change and get his humanity back and maintain it. And this is a good episode because it kind of shows her who she really is and who she's trying to get where she is, but she needed Daryl to help get her there,
I think this is more about her, Daryl helping her than her helping Daryl.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think Daryl's pretty confident in the position he is. And
yeah, he's trying. He's actually putting the work in. And you can notice, notice that when they drop the book.
And it's actually now it brings back memories of him trying to find Sophia. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, because Carol was all kind of, she didn't give up, but, you know, she was hoping she couldn't do anything. And then Daryl stepped up and he went out, like in the wilderness, like a million times, trying to find Sophia all on his own.
Sophia!
And he was like running around and everything, and he came back and he was the only one who did it.
And I think the reason why I'm just realizing this, but probably most of you already know this. I think the reason why they connect so well is because they've both been abused in their life and they're still there. And they're the ones that come out on top. They're the ones that survived,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I feel like that's the connection he has with her, and it's just stuck with them, and because now they've just grown stronger and they've overcome it, and he really respects that. And he's definitely trying. He took the book, and that's basically proof that he's trying to go work through his issues.
Yeah. And just to, now that I remembered the whole Sophia thing, remember where at one point Carol got mad at him for something. I can't remember the episode exactly, but like because he didn't, something about Sophia or like Carol was like, I don't care anymore or something. I give up or something.
And Daryl was really upset.
And Daryl was like pissed off. Like, I went out there searching for her and everything, and this is what you do. Like,
you just give up.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Right. So I think there's a little bit of that there too. Kind of flashback of, reminds me of that.
Because I feel like they're both fighting for each other.
Yeah.
Well, more Daryl on Carol. No, that's not. Well, Carol was kind of the one that brought Daryl out of his shell. Mm-hmm. And so they need each other. That's kind of where the relationship, and now that they've been separated for so long, because, you know, after the prison fell, they haven't seen each other.
They've changed.
And now they're just trying to reconnect again.
Yeah, and they've changed.
The more I talk about this, the more I like their relationship and I like this episode. This is good. I feel like I'm going through therapy.
There you go. I think you have issues, Jasmine. You're trying to work through right now. You're working out through your issues as you're working out the character's issues. Ooh, meta.
And meta, what does that mean?
It's hard to describe, but it's like you're talking about something. Kind of like...
talking about the thing that you're talking about. No, you're talking about the talking about the thing.
It's like us having a podcast about two people that are doing a podcast about...
another show. Yeah. Inception!
Exactly.
Podcast Inception. Okay. So they have absolutely no guns now.
They have no guns.
Bottom line.
And they're scoping out the roof of the hospital, and they see the vans in the distance and everything. And then they hear, is this where they hear the noise?
No, we skipped a whole bunch of stuff, Dad. What are you doing, man? What are you doing, man? Oh, yeah, wait, this is where they scope out the van, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were going on the bridge, and there's walkers following them. How did they get through the city with no weapons to get to the bridge? How did they get through there? Unless it was close by, that's the only reason they would survive. Other than that...
Oh, wait, they're going... Yeah.
On the way to the van?
Sorry, I forgot about that. They're on their way to the van that was on the edge of the bridge. Yep. Yeah, that's true. How did they get there without being...
And what did they expect to do after they find the stuff? Like, just drive the truck out of there? Because obviously walkers would follow them.
Well, the truck wasn't working, so... I mean, it was over the bridge. They couldn't bring it back.
Yeah, they should have just picked up some weapons. Oh, my gosh. Anyway...
They should have, yeah, they should have scoped.
They should have been, I don't know. I guess they was kind of like
they should have pretty looked, tough. They should have looked around for weapons first before going to the van, because they had no weapons.
But it would probably take more time and someone might have died in the process.
Well, long story short, they go inside the van and
they get swarmed, and they do find evidence.
Yeah, they find evidence.
They find a hospital gurney from Grady Memorial Hospital. Yes,
you remembered.
All right. And they're like, it's a lead, woo! And then they realize, oh crap, now we're stuck. And they have this really cool scene where they both knew what they had to do. You see, they didn't have to say, we need to go over.
It's a cool scene because they're, you know, dropping a van over the bridge, but it's kind of a little bit of a lame scene at the same time.
But it's only, but in the end of the day,
it's both cool and lame at the same time.
I respect it because at the end of the day, they used a real truck to throw off the bridge.
They did.
How many times?
They used two trucks, actually.
Four, actually.
Yeah, but two actually.
They filmed two of them, but the other two, I think, was for practice.
And there's a big controversy on the web right now related to this.
Or is it just between us?
No, there is. I did some searching, and apparently there's a big controversy. It's like
that. How it fell. Like, obviously, it's not going to fall completely. And if it fell upside down, they would have been dead, because the weight of the truck would have crushed the top of it, and they would have died. So, did you want... Just for the sake of continuity and making everything realistic, did you want your characters to die? No. So yes, shut up, enjoy it.
I do want them to die. No, I'm just kidding. Well, because if you search and you watch the behind the scenes, they show the real truck, how it actually landed. And physics and engineering, because I'm an engineering mind, is obvious. The thing is going to flip over and it's going to go on its roof.
It might, if it was taller, if the bridge was taller, it might have been able to do a full flip.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think it wasn't.
I think the stunt people the stunt coordinators, I guess, screwed up a little bit.
They didn't screw up, Dad. You can't beat physics. You can't plan something to go over perfectly, especially from a bridge like that.
Well,
tell me how they could have done it better.
They couldn't have.
Exactly.
That's why they shouldn't have done that in the first place.
They did it because they needed to do it. Okay.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to attack.
How many times in the show do you see something like that happen with a real car?
Never.
At least you can say that they tried. Okay. Okay. Anyway, the next shot was of them lining up upright. So that's all that matters. They survived. Okay. Jeez.
Man, I'm just saying that. Okay. So just to close this issue, if you look at the making of this episode behind the scenes on YouTube, mm-hmm. you see the car flipping over on its roof. So basically what they said was they had another car on a crane.
That dropped straight down.
They just dropped it straight down and they cut the two scenes together. So it looks like it's the same van, but it's not.
That landed properly.
Yeah. So, but the cool scene after that was when the walkers
fell on top of another place where I jumped a little bit because I wasn't expecting it, but the walkers, kind of some of them fell off the bridge.
It was raining walkers. It's rain and walkers. It's rain and walkers.
Hallelujah.
It's a rain and walkers. Amen.
I don't think so. It's not an amen. Yeah, and so I really like that because it added a cool Walking Dead signature grossness. It landed on it, and then the blood started streaming down the windshield.
And I liked the walker on the ground that was cut in half.
Because it fell from such a height and...
Half.
Yeah.
Bottom half on
and
the left.
And they survived! Woo! And it was so scary, man. However, would totally done that, though. I'd rather fall off a bridge in a truck than deal with the horde.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I would deal with the horde.
Because
I know physics, and I know we would have been flipped over on a roof, and we would have been dead. Okay? So that's why I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. But then you would have been dead anyway because you couldn't get through the horde because you had no weapons.
If I knew I was on a TV show
and
I would survive, then I would do it. But in real life, probably not. There's my answer.
Okay. I'm satisfied, I guess. So now they're going to the hospital.
Are they going to the hospital?
Not before. Oh, actually.
Well,
they're on their way.
Because
they saved time. They said it's now 3 blocks away.
What do you think about...
She hurt herself.
Yeah, but Carol hurting her arm.
I'm pretty sure she dislocated her shoulder. There was show a little bit of bruisage.
Why would they show, how can you bruise yourself from that?
Well, it doesn't seem impossible because, you know, bruises are just busted blood vessels under the skin. So probably when she was dislocating, she ripped a blood vessel open.
And she banged her shoulder or something.
Yeah, it probably hit the dashboard, dislocated it, and busted some vessels. It's fine as long as you get it popped back in.
Yeah, that's a problem, especially when you don't have medical attention anywhere. But she got it at the end.
How convenient. Yeah,
convenient. What happens next? Where did they go?
So afterward, yeah, they went to another building. Is that what they were in?
Oh, then they go, since they saw the gurney and it was from that hospital,
mm-hmm.
they decided to find that hospital.
Yeah, but before that, they decided to find a place to scope it out.
Yeah.
So they took a building across from the hospital and
here we have more talking.
Yes, we do.
More soul searching and deep discussions.
And we also see the pattern that Carol just wants to go in and find them while Daryl's like, no, let's sit back. We'll find a good vantage point to scope it out and see the stuff, what's going on.
And this is why, you know, I mentioned this controversial comment about, you know, I thought Carol at the end actually on purpose ran out and got run over because she says in the scene, oh, Daryl says, you know, let's scope it out. And she says, no, do you think that's the best approach just to scope it out? Maybe we should be doing more.
You know, I'm actually glad at the way it ended because you remember how Noah's dad was killed because he was he looked menacing and he could handle himself and he was tough and they don't want tough people. They want weak people.
Yeah.
Now imagine if they went in together.
They would have killed Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
And kept Carol because she was weak.
Appears weak.
And Noah, they recognized him from the escape. So they were like, hey, we know you. Come back.
So I'm really glad that this turned out the way it turned out. Otherwise,
Daryl would have been dead.
Yeah.
Because the cops have guns and
they have more firepower and
they probably have a bulletproof vest too on.
So an arrow can, yeah.
Yeah. And
see, and they.
So it went okay. But anyway, just the fact that Carol wants more action, I feel, means that kind of hints to the why. And I'm going to mark my words. I bet you they're going to have a discussion in a future episode where Daryl's like, oh, you got hurt. It's like, no, I did it on purpose. Oh, I ran out on purpose. You know what I'm saying? I feel.
You think so? I don't think so.
I feel she's going to admit
that. I know you think that, but I think that's too, just a bit of a stretch.
And I'm going to repeat my statement from the beginning of the season that Carol's going to die.
Don't go there, man. Don't go there.
I just think Carol's done for it.
You think she's completed her trial? Her journey?
She's redeemed herself for whatever. She let out all her demons. And this episode was consuming.
Saving Beth would it cause her sacrifice?
I think she sacrificed to save Beth. That was kind of her big goodbye, farewell, goodbye thing.
Yeah.
And because, when she's saying, I'm trying to help, I'm trying to care about people.
The only way she can fully do it is if she sacrifices herself and gives up her true survival instinct. Yeah. Man, sacrifice, that sounds plausible.
Sacrifice herself to save Beth. And I think this might be what she did. And unfortunately, I know for a lot of people who like Carol, I think that's what's going to happen. And we'll see.
And we have them scoping out something and then they hear a noise.
Obviously. Well, actually, let's play a scene from this because there's some interesting...
Yeah, they have a conversation.
Yeah.
What about you?
Me and Sophia stayed at that shelter for a day and a half before I went running back to Ed. I went home, I got beat up. Life went on and I just kept praying for something to happen. But I didn't do anything. Not a damn thing. Who I was with him, she got burned away. And I was happy about that. I mean, not happy, but... And at the prison, I got to be who I always thought I should be. Thought I should have been. And then she got burned away. Everything now just consumes you.
So that was the part where we're talking about the consumed, where
symbolism,
yeah. She said when I got away from Ed,
I changed
that part of me got burned away.
That weakness, that woman that's just so always going back, burned away. And then when I got to the prison, and then after the prison, that burned away too.
You notice that when she says, "When I went to the prison, I thought that's who I was supposed to be. I thought that was..."
No, that's what... Yeah, she's like, what I thought who I was at the prison was who I always thought I should have been in my present life. Yeah,
and then that got burned away.
Because of the whole thing with the...
With Karen.
Killing Karen and stuff. And...
See, she set fire to Karen, and then that person she was got burned away. Ooh.
Yeah, symbolism. Because she had to become someone else.
Yeah.
And she realized what was important, and it was a lot different than what... Because basically saying that the apocalypse does things to you that you will... never, it consumes you. Mm-hmm. The apocalypse defines who you are. But then again, it's like, well, then Daryl says we're still here, and I think it means, I don't mean like that we're still here individually, meaning that we're still survived, but I think it means that we're still friend, we still have each other.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, we are still here. We've been through different things, but at the end of the day, we still get each other. And we're still hurting. Possibly, it might not be right, but that's what I like to think it is. And also, can I say, I've never been a really big fan of Daryl. It's not like I didn't like him. I just thought, like, oh, he's Rick's, second in command. Yeah. Man. And he just does what he has to do. And he didn't really have, I liked his backstory and all that, but I wasn't too invested in him. But this episode is really making me feel a lot better about, like, he has more depth. Like Shrek quote I have here. You're like an onion. You have many layers. And I feel like Daryl has many layers to him now because I like the fact, and I think it has something to do with Carol saying, well, you were a kid once and now you're a man.
Right.
Like, he's grown and he's developed as a character, just like everybody else that is my favorite character has grown and developed. And now he is a good balance. I think he's kind of like the same place Rick is now, where he has a fine balance of being rough and tough and but being able to show compassion,
mm-hmm.
maybe even more so than Rick right now.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
And it makes me like all giddy when he's all saying all cool stuff because I'm like, yay, you have depth. Yay.
Yeah.
And I can see why people really like Daryl.
And one thing that I notice in general with The Walking Dead show, the series, and what they're trying to portray is that you kind of need people around you. You kind of need to have someone else because that helps you. Like if you're somebody like Daryl, you know, to help someone else, or if you're someone like Carol, to have someone else help you.
Yeah.
Right. If you're all alone, you're either going to go down to the deepest depths of despair and die or kill yourself or like what else is going to happen? Like
exactly.
That's the only outcome.
We saw what it was like for her on her own. It was like, what is there to live for? There's nothing to live for.
The same with Michonne, right?
Yeah.
So
you have nothing to live for. You get depressed. And when you have somebody else who's like, you have some of the, people don't realize how much us as human beings need other human beings,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's very important that in the apocalypse, that you stay together.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of one of the underlying things in the whole series is the need to have people be with other people. Of course, good people, not people that are going to eat you.
Yeah, of course there's going to be things. Yeah. Of course there's things that's going to be bad that's going to happen.
You got to find the right people, basically. I think that's the, kind of the moral of this whole story.
Sometimes the wrong people might be the right people. Mm.
Well, if they, maybe.
The wrong people that you think, because you would never see Carol and Daryl in the present day ever be friends.
No, ever.
You know?
Yeah. It's weird circumstances brought them together. And then they hear the noise from Noah, who's...
Well, before we didn't talk about, the shelter. They were at the show. She was at the shelter for a day, but we already knew
that. Yeah, we talked about that. We hear the noise of Noah scavenging around the same area where they are.
Yeah. And we're thinking, has he been following them? But Noah's thinking, have you been following me? You know, and it's just by coincidence, they ended up in the same building.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think I know why.
Why? Because you think Noah was...
I think Noah wants to be close to the hospital, and that happens to be the best place to be.
But he says, we got to go once he sees the car.
Well, I think Noah was trying to hang around the hospital, and that was the best place to be where they were. It was a coincidence, but...
They had the same idea.
It was close to the hospital, because I think mm-hmm. Noah still wants to say Beth.
He just still doesn't know how yet.
Yeah. And I don't know, what the hell was he doing? Like, he
trying to move that bookcase?
Why?
To get through.
I don't get it. Like,
no, I think he was being desperate, because once... He saw them. He ran down that way. So I think
he was running away.
Yeah, he definitely was, because remember how he threw the walker onto Carol?
Yeah, like
because he saw them.
It was a total panic move.
Yeah, and it sucked because
then Carol hurt herself even more.
Well, yeah, she couldn't defend herself because her arm was hurt, so she fell down.
That was, she could have died. That was instant death for her right there.
Oh yeah.
And if Dale wasn't there, and. Then he starts shooting off his gun like an idiot to attract people and walkers. And then he goes out in there trying to move this bookcase.
He's desperate, man. He's running out of options.
I don't know what he was panicking. He was basically making all these weird things. And then Daryl tackles him and the bookcase falls on top of him.
That was so awesome. He like football tackles him. He's like, I'm done with this crap. I'm ending it now. I don't know what he was expecting to do, but it worked, whatever it was he did. And the bookcase, he got him pinned down. And this time I was kind of angry because I was surprised that all of a sudden Daryl has this total switch, you know, from I'm angry, I'm sick of this kid, I will let him die. And it's like a role reversal. And then after watching The Talking Dead and after analyzing a little bit, I realized he did it on purpose to get a reaction of Carol.
I don't know.
But I don't know if that was totally what was all about.
It could be, it was 50-50. I mean, you could explain it that way.
But
or you could explain it that maybe Carol did convince him that, he tried to kill us and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think it was just Daryl in the heat of the moment was really angry. Was just done with it.
I think he was just pissed off.
Yeah, he was just pissed off. And then Carol realized in that moment that, hey, being in the same position.
You noticed that Daryl got a cigarette and smoked it like uh-huh. casually, like I'm nonchalant, like I don't care. And there was another symbolism with the fire. He lit the cigarette.
Oh, you know, I really like that scene. And it kind of, because it kind of reminded me of something that Quentin Tarantino would do, super zoomed up close of just someone doing something.
Yeah, like someone's dying or some really weird thing is happening, but someone is just being casually smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
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 That is true. That's a Quentin. You like Quentin Tarantino,
I
don't you?
I love him so much. Like if I met him, I would melt.
He's a weird guy.
I love it. That's why he makes all these good movies. Those are the best kinds of people, Dad. Don't you know?
He made We need to watch all of his movies. Oh, did you? I read this quote from Quentin Tarantino that said that once he makes 10 movies, he hasn't made 10 movies yet, but once he makes 10 movies, he's going to stop
making movies. Why?
He says, that's my magic number. I'm going to make 10 and then I'm going to retire.
No. How many is he at right now?
I don't know. I think he's at 8 or something.
Stop. Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2 don't count. Put them together.
It counts at 1. He's coming out. There's another movie he's making now.
Ooh, do you know?
I think it's a Western. I'm not sure.
Ooh.
But
something like Django?
No, something different. But yeah, he's making another movie.
All of my favorite movies are my favorite because Quentin Tarantino directed it. And I didn't know that Inglourious Basterds was Quentin Tarantino directed.
Yeah.
And it has my favorite actors in there, which is like bomb. And Django was really good too. It was funny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Jamie Foxx, but I liked him in this movie. And I liked Leonardo DiCaprio. There was one scene that I will never forget. It was so funny. Is when we first get introduced to Leo. And he's watching the two black guys fight. And then, like, he turns around for the first time. They do a zoom up in his face. He's like, ding! I loved it. It was great. Because it was so funny. But anyway, enough about Quentin Tarantino. But yeah, that moment seemed like a kind of, like, a cinematic Quentin Tarantino kind of thing.
Yeah. And eventually, you know, Daryl coolly and calmly, turns around and, you know, shoots an arrow through the walker head and saves him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have that discussion, right? About they probably heard us. We got to go. And he's like, who, what, where, when? What are you talking about? Who heard you?
It's like, Beth? You know Beth? Like, it was great.
Like, finally, revelation moment.
Finally, when he's on the verge of death.
And the fact that they all know Beth, that's a common
automatic theme. Trust.
It's like, okay, we don't have to talk anymore. Instant bonding moment right there.
This is one thing I like about the apocalypse. Once something is said, you don't have to talk about it anymore. You don't got to sign some documents. You don't got to shake hands and all that BS. You just do it. Because you really have no time on this planet to just do all with all the formalities.
Yeah. Instant bonding with everybody knows Beth. Yes, we all know Beth. We know she's an angel from heaven. We all have to go save her.
Please, whatever. She's no angel, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they get down. She gets hit by a car. I don't know how Noah restrained Daryl. That's...
I think Carol...
With a limp?
I think Carol sacrificed herself.
I don't think so. I really don't.
I think Carol just ran out there and said, screw you guys. I'm going to cause this thing to happen. And...
Bada boom, bada bing.
Right.
And we have a flashback, the final flashback of Carol after she fired on the Unterminus. When she was in the meat suit and she was taking it off and wiping her face
down.
Was
the smoke white at that point?
Yeah. No, I think it was black.
Oh, yeah.
And we see her struggle, you know, and it kind of made her what she did at less Rambo-ish and more human. More, I don't know. I really like the flashbacks.
Yeah, the smoke was kind of black and stuff, but.
The fact that they showed the smoke again, symbolism.
Well, the smoke was turning white, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, the smoke was turning white. That means that Terminus was ending. The end of Terminus. Terminus was being terminated.
Oh my gosh.
By the Terminator, who is Carol. And so they showed the symbolism by cutting back to those scenes. But really, I mean, there wasn't a lot in that in those flashbacks except for the fact that, you know,
Carol, we already knew everything.
Carol's doing something and then there's smoke. Okay, here's to summarize all the flashbacks. Carol's doing something and then there's smoke. Okay, that summarizes everything.
No, it's pretty much after everything, like Carol just did something, reaction and fire.
Yes.
And
so then we...
Yeah, so the group, Daryl and Noah are going to get Carol and Beth. And because during that conversation where he's holding them back, saying, yeah, we can get her back. We can get her back. Don't fight now because they have machines and doctors that can help her. This is good for us but it's going to take a lot for us to get there.
Because
he thinks that he is just him. And then he says, they have got guns and they've got people.
Yeah.
And then he's like, so do we.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, yes. So we know next episode is definitely going to be going back. And Daryl's going to come out of the woods to see Michonne and say, come on out. And it's Noah. And they're going to hop and pile into the camper. And they're going to go fetch Beth and Carol. And everything's going to be great.
Okay, well, we talked about this before the show, but there's only 2 episodes left. And they obviously want to end on a high note or like some kind of action cliffhanger thing. So yeah. The next episode probably is, like you said, them getting Rick and the gang and going back to... Do you think the whole gang's going to go or is someone going to stay at the church?
Well, I think someone needs to stay to look after Judith.
Yeah, that's true. They can't take Judith.
So they're probably going to leave Carl with
unless they've
with
taught
them.
Judith karate and stuff. I mean...
karate,
how,
maybe.
How to shoot weapons. I don't know. Carl's like, Judith, you got to learn. You got to be brave. You got to learn.
Yeah, and she's like, what, 8 months old? Really?
And,
yes, Dad.
So there's definitely... they definitely have to get some of the group, but not all of them. So there's still going to be some church stuff happening.
And they're not going to take Gabriel.
Gabriel's useless. He's not going to do anything.
He's useless now, yeah.
Michonne, they're going to take Michonne, Rick. I think Michonne, Rick, and I think Tyrese, maybe?
Maybe, because he's so big.
Oh, Glenn's not there.
Oh, well, no!
Glenn's not there! Oh, dang. Oh, well, Glenn's not there.
Gosh!
Tyrese, right?
Maybe.
No, they need Tyrese. He's the baby protector.
Maybe. I don't know.
Michonne and Rick, that's it. That's all they can take.
Wait, is that all they have?
Yeah, that's all they have. Glenn and Maggie are gone.
But they don't have people. Oh, well, they still have Daryl and Noah.
Daryl doesn't know that Abraham and his group left.
Well, they're probably going to fill him in. Oh, yeah, but at that moment, they didn't know.
They don't know. So Rick, so Daryl doesn't know that Abraham and his group are gone.
Still, as long as we have Rick, we can do it, okay?
Yeah, they're gonna get Rick and...
Rick, Tyrese.
No, Tyrese has to stay to protect the baby. Yeah, unfortunately. What's her name? Thing.
Thing? Oh, Tara? No, she's with Abraham.
The other woman. What's her name? I forgot the characters.
Who?
Sasha.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
Because Sasha is all Rambo now. She killed a man with her bare hands.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
But I don't think, okay, go ahead.
I just hope that the next two episodes are going to be better than the last two episodes.
They will because
Rick's in it, that's why.
Rick's in it and it's all about rescue and all about getting Beth out. And mm-hmm. I think they're finally going to go get Beth. But I have a feeling they're not going to conclude that Beth thing until the final episode.
Which I'm okay with as long as they get it resolved before the season ends.
And we're going to have a major death.
Don't say that.
We're going to have a major death.
Don't say Carol. Stop where you are right now.
Do you think anything I say has any influence on the show? Come on.
Yes. The Walking Dead gods are listening, Dad.
Yeah. So that's
that pretty wraps up that episode. Let's go to some of our fan questions from Facebook.
What did our fans say about this?
Robin Young Sanders says, LOL! Exclamation point. Well, I was completely wrong about Carol being a Trojan horse. I really liked this episode. Things are starting to tie together. I just don't care for all these let's stay with this group for a week episodes. I much prefer the story being played out by interviewing all the different groups in each episode.
Interweaving.
I feel I had like a little bit of crash halfway through the podcast and now I feel like rebooted. It's weird. I think it's because I paused after halfway through and then I re-drank it. It's weird. I'm feeling an extra shot, Dad. It looks like next week we'll get more of an interweaving, though. Yes, we will. I definitely think so.
Again with the interweaving.
I like that word, interweaving.
Robin likes interweaving. Where she says she was wrong about Carol being a Trojan horse.
You think she's still a Trojan horse.
I think she is a Trojan horse because...
But that's doing the most. She would purposely get hit by a car. Okay.
She did it on purpose because she wanted to help Beth and sacrifice herself. Vic Miller says, thank you for finally letting us know what happened to Carol when Rick banished her. We didn't see a lot of what happened, but we know she was putting Ziploc bags in a window and collecting water. So we know that.
That actually can work.
Zombie mom and kid, what could have been... That could have been Carol if not left. She didn't leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could have been. As much as I dislike the team being spread out, again, I must say I'm enjoying this episode flashbacks. Track on the Lost Carol Diaries. With that said, is anyone else afraid that this may be their way of saying goodbye to Carol?
You're not alone in this, aren't you, Dad?
See?
Dang it.
Is that the same overpass they lost the truck under in season one?
You said it was a different...
It's not the same overpass. It's a different one, but it's close by anyway. It's close by. It's not too far away.
Yep. And Annette Dixon says, overall, just okay.
Just okay. How dare you, Dixon's wife, or whoever you are, or sister. Obviously, Daryl Dixon's cousin or something.
Or wife. Fan wife. I'm also ready to get back to full real-time episodes rather than these peppered...
checkered past ones.
I really didn't feel like we learned that much about Carol's where was she when. I just hope the whole group with Abraham and Rick are back together before they go get Beth, or at least something from the church leaves in, someone from the church leaves a note. Went to get Beth at hospital in Atlanta. Come be back soon. Geez, no more separating. And I kind of agree with this because it's kind of confusing when everything is timeline is back and forth. But I definitely glad we're doing this podcast so we can understand it better.
Yes, and I doubt Abraham will be back
in time.
And the question is, will he go back?
Will they come back?
Exactly. I mean, or they just keep moving forward? And it's like
so many. Yeah, I know questions.
Eugene screwed us with that Washington thing.
We're already halfway there. That's why maybe, he purposely said that.
Maybe we should go to Washington anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Abraham's coming back, guys. Sorry.
I miss Glenn.
Daphne Meloche says, I liked it. I would have loved a little action with Daryl and maybe also Carol.
Mm-hmm. That bunk bed was open.
The bunk bed was... Don't need to use separate bunk beds. Just whatever.
Just whatever.
I feel that Carol tried to show him her feelings for him and all he thinks about is Beth. Can't wait for next weekend for the podcast.
So we have a strong Carol and a Daryl shipper here.
Well,
I don't necessarily think that it's totally valid. Anything could be true, but I don't think that necessarily.
I don't think she was showing him her feelings.
No, she wasn't.
I think she was just talking about her life, and
they're still feeling each other out. They don't really know.
And I don't think Daryl has feelings for Beth either. I think he's doing it because.
Do you think he's gay?
No.
What? No. I read an article somewhere.
No, it's BS.
Okay, I hope so.
I think that. I don't think Daryl is in.
Honestly, they don't have time for that stuff.
I don't think he cares. I think he does it because, I mean, he cares as a person.
No, he loves Beth and he loves Carol. Just doesn't necessarily mean he loves them in a romantic way.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So Haley Benedict says, I know this is mean, but it was kind of funny when Carol got hit by the car, but at least she'll be okay.
We don't know if she'll be okay.
We don't, yeah.
So but how dare you laugh?
That was kind of funny though.
He who laughs last laughs last laugh laugh.
Last last the last laugh.
He who laughs last will be
the last laugher of the last laugh.
The people at the hospital because Daryl and Rick are going to be laughing last because they will be all over that place and they're gonna kick some butt.
Oh wait, do we have a voicemail?
Oh, we have a voicemail feedback and we will play that right now.
Hey you guys, this is Danny from LA. I have a quick observation to make from this last Walking Dead episode, Consume. When Daryl and Carol are in the van, and the van is falling, you know, the way it was falling and stuff, and from judging from the height, I don't think it had enough room or momentum to make a complete flip where it could actually land back on its wheels or tires or whatever. It just didn't look right. I think they, you know, that was a little bit of an error there. That's it. This is Danny from LA.
Oh. Maybe yes. When I move out to LA, I'll maybe be able to meet him.
You want to meet a strange person who left a voicemail on a show out in LA?
Well, no. Why do you make it sound like that? No, he's a frequent Facebook commenter, right?
Yes, I'm sure Danny is a really nice guy.
we talked about...
Okay, Jasmine, if you go to LA, don't hook up with strange men, please.
Dad, I know. I'm not... Stupid! I'm not that naive. Dang!
I'm just joking around. I know Danny's a great guy. I've watched his videos on YouTube. He's a nice guy. I'd love to meet up. Actually, I'd love to meet up with fans.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome. We go to LA every now and then.
And you're definitely gonna go frequent it more once I graduate and move out there and get accepted to my dream colleges, right?
Yeah, of course.
See me in my natural element. I don't know what I did there, but yes.
And see you in your natural elements. What are your natural elements, Jasmine? Starbucks?
Hey, no. Okay. My natural element is the woods.
Yes.
I love camping, FYI. That's why I would survive in the apocalypse.
I totally don't picture you as a camping person.
Are you kidding me? You know, I'm totally zen. Anytime we go camping, I'm so pumped. When we went to Lake Tahoe, that was like the best moments of my life.
I don't think we were actually camping there.
I mean, we weren't. But I'm just talking about being out in the wilderness in the cold.
We have gone camping many times.
And camping is just a way of life, yo. Get like the meditating.
Is that you trying to be zen?
Yeah. Anyway, yes, let's go back to what he said. The whole incident with the car.
I think we covered that already. Basically, yeah.
Look, you have your background. It's like Tahoe.
Oh.
Did you take that picture?
No, it's not. No. That's Vail, Colorado. That's my screensaver.
Looks pretty nice.
Thank you.
Yes. We already covered pretty much how...
They screwed up.
They did not screw
up. Yes, they did. The van flipping was bad. They did a bad job of it. Let's admit it. They can screw up once.
But screw up is such a harsh word. They miscalculated, and it was too late for them to recalculate.
They could have fixed it in editing. They could have...
No.
And they could have done some computer graphics or something.
Cost too much money.
They could have computer graphics the crap out of that thing.
Walking Dead is life.
That's your sign off. That should be your thing on
Drop the mic.
That should be your thing on your high school senior thing.
Walking Dead is life.
Walking Dead is life.
Walking Dead is a way of life. It's a life. I watch The Walking Dead because it's a lifestyle.
Yes, I choose to, or something. I don't know.
All right, my senior quote could be like, just don't touch the hair. You know.
That's gonna be your senior quote. Don't touch the hair.
Yeah, because my senior portrait, it's like all my hair's all in like woo. It's like bang bang.
Actually, our audience hasn't seen a photo of you with your straight hair. They've only seen you with curly hair.
Oh yeah, and I've had it straight for a while now.
Yeah.
Maybe just upload a picture from the show, but my hair is kind of up.
Yeah, we should post one with you with straight hair.
And I'll wear my hat because I can actually wear the hat from.
Looking forward to the next two episodes, and then
I'm pretty sure they're gonna be a lot better now.
And then we're going to have a lot of downtime. I have an idea of what we can do on our downtime. No more podcasts. No, we can watch some movies and we can review some movies.
Ooh, some zombie movies?
Yeah, we can review some zombie movies.
Ooh, we can review the unrated, uncut version of World War Z.
Yes.
Because you still need to do that.
Because the rated version sucked.
Yeah, well, compared to the book, if you read the Max Brooks book, it obviously wasn't as great. But Brad Pitt, man. It's Brad Pitt.
I have a feeling they're going to totally remake it in the future.
You think so?
Yeah. Max Brooks is going to...
You know what? I might remake it.
They're going to remake it because if it's not like the book, then that means there's opportunities to do it differently. Right?
Did he tell me he didn't sell the rights to the book to...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you can still do it with another studio or something.
Well... You recognize that music?
Yes.
It means we have come to the end of our show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate any feedback you might have. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive. Walking Dead is life.